With yesterday's snowfall, it feels like winter is all of a sudden upon us. Even though you know it doesn't officially arrive until the solstice on December 21st. And I wonder how you're feeling about this. I'm someone who actually likes winter. I actually love shoveling snow. The invitation, I know, you can think I am certifiable. But I grew up in the South and we didn't even have a snow shovel down there. And I love its invitation to get out there like I did last night at around 11 o'clock when the snow had almost stopped and the whole neighborhood was quiet, and to shovel what I like to think of as zen-like, methodically and mindfully, not in a hurry. I like to imagine the winter falling upon us the way the snow does, bringing a change of pace, bringing quiet to the land. I like how winter makes one glad to come back indoors, to get warm and be cozy. How this season invites a quieter, more interior way of being for a while. Can you even imagine living in the tropics where the seasons don't change much and the days never get particularly long or short? Some of you are probably thinking, yes, I could imagine living down there. But don't you think the changing seasons we have here are good for us? My spiritual life is so tied up with these seasons and their dance of light and dark, their ever-changing invitations to us to at times draw in and at times to reach out, at times to be active, at other times to be contemplative. I felt this last Wednesday night here at Vespers, here in the dark. I felt the deep blessing that this season offers, its invitation to be still, to watch, to wait. Earlier this week, I was having a conversation with a trusted colleague about my ministry, and he asked me a question. He said, "What is wanting to emerge?" I loved his question, which I heard as such an Advent question. It made my heart glad to think, hey, new things could actually happen. I don't have to be constrained by what has gone before. I can do things a different way, can try on new ways of being. This made me happy and hopeful. And I thought of words from the prophet Isaiah that I put at the top of the order of service today. Behold, I will do a new thing. These Advent days and these winter months are a good time to sit still, to be by ourselves every now and then, to take an accounting of our lives, to ask, am I spending my days the way that I want to? The way that I ought to? Are there things that need to change? Sometimes we think of change on such a large global scale, it seems daunting and even impossible. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I find myself thinking, what can I do to change the world? And the task seems so vast, it seems almost impossible, as if it's all up to us as individuals. So wouldn't a better question be, what difference do I want to make today? I wonder if you ever ask yourself, Are there patterns of behavior in my life that aren't helpful anymore? Things I want to stop doing? Are there practices that are good for me that I need to do more of to better be of use to myself and those I love? Some of you have told me moving stories about the ways you've made changes in your own lives. Like the day you decided to stop drinking and how that has made all the difference. Or when you decided to seek counseling or start going to the gym or started coming here to church. I am in awe of the capacity that you have to take what you have been given, which includes some tough things, I know because you have told me, and you do your own work, and day by day you transform these situations into lives that are good and a blessing to others. It's a privilege to get to hear your stories, to bear witness to your courage and your resilience. You give me hope. Do you remember Helen Keller, the famous blind woman, pioneer, writes for people without sight? She knew something about struggle. And she said one time, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. In this season that invites us to have hope, isn't the place to look for hope right here, in ourselves, in the stuff of our own lives, in our capacity to change and grow, to make a fresh start, as the gospel says, to go home by another way. I'm not saying that we do this all by ourselves or all on our own. I need help from teachers and companions, and I certainly need the leadings of the Spirit. But I'm convinced that new beginnings are always possible, that we do have the power to change and grow, that we have more agency in our lives than most of us imagine. What if you started channeling Isaiah and the holy in these days? You could proclaim, "Behold, I'm about to do a new thing." Who knows what might happen? And you know, there is plenty in our contemporary culture that encourages us the other way, that tells us to be passive, to see ourselves as spectators and consumers, to be sheep-like, herdable people, right? To think of ourselves as a number, a statistic, only one in a very large crowd. If that becomes your worldview, no wonder so many people feel hopeless. But that's not who we are. That's not what we are meant to be about. This week, I found some words from the UU minister, Victoria Safford, that articulates our calling so well. Listen to what she says. Our mission is to plant ourselves at the gates of hope, not the prudent gates of optimism, which are somewhat narrower, nor the stalwart, boring gates of common sense, nor the strident gates of self-righteousness, which creak on shrill and angry hinges, nor the cheerful, flimsy garden gate of everything is going to be all right, but a very different, sometimes very lonely place, the place of truth-telling about your own soul first and its condition, the place of resistance and defiance, the piece of ground from which you see the world, both as it is and as it could be, as it might be, as it will be, the place from which you glimpse not only struggle, but joy in the struggle. And we stand there, beckoning and calling, telling people what we are seeing, asking people what they see. Victoria Safford. Isn't this what we are trying to build here in this church and in our particular lives? A place of truth-telling, a place from which you see the world both as it is and as it could be, a place where you find joy in the struggle. This is the mystery and the promise of the life of faith, that if we meet the holy anywhere, it is right here, in this moment, and in the beauty and in the mess of our lives, in the stuff of this good earth. It's why we are drawn to the stories of this season, of light shining in the darkness, of consecrated oil that, against all odds, doesn't run out, of the Holy One coming to earth and being born in a humble stable. Because we need, don't we, to be reminded of the pregnant possibilities that exist right here in these bodies and these holy places in this day that we have been given. Our job is to plant ourselves at the gates of hope. I've made copies of Victoria Safford's words that you can take home today if you want, at the back of the sanctuary and at coffee hour. Because these days, as Joanna said earlier, it's so important that we do what we can to remain hopeful, that we keep the faith, and that we spread as much goodwill as we can. So please remember that you always have a choice. You have agency in your life. You have the power to make a change, to make a new beginning. You don't have to be bound by your past. I invite you to take a moment now, if you will, to just be still and listen not to me, but to what's in you and to the Spirit. Close your eyes, if you will. Take a deep breath and ask, what is wanting to emerge in me? Bless you. What is wanting to emerge in these days? I didn't give you much time. I hope you'll find it later if you want to reflect on this, which I invite you to. To ask, what is wanting to emerge in me in these days? my spiritual companions, let us hear the invitation of this season to come home to ourselves, to make room for what is unfolding, for what is still in bud. Let us hear Lynn Unger's invitation as not only to the Maccabees of so long ago, but to each of us in the places of our lives. Come down. Try to remember a life gentled by daily acts of domestic faith. The pot set to boil, the bed made up, the table set in calm expectation that when the sun sets, we will still be here. Come down and settle. Unlearn the years of hiding. Light fires that can be seen for miles, that dance and spark and warm the frozen marrow. Set lamps in the window. Declare your presence, your loyalties, the truths for which you do not expect to have to die. It would take a miracle, you say, to carve such a solid life out of the shell of fear. I say you are the stuff from which such miracles are made. I say you are the stuff from which such miracles are made. Amen.